Paul Plakas joins us once again. Plakas, what's happening?
Good, buddy. Looking good and feeling good.
Ooh, looking good, eh? All right. Are you wearing your spandex full-body outfit again?
Just to work. Just commuting back and forth to work to get the be aerodynamic.
Seriously, how many bike outfits do you own, honestly?
Maybe a half a dozen. Yeah, if you use them all the time, though. You need a few. Like, I only have one suit, but half a dozen bike outfits.
Yeah, I'm always curious, though, like, why you always buy them in one size smaller than what you should.
Nice.
Now, I want to we've had a lot of guys ask questions over the weeks, and one of them was, how can people increase their workout intensity rather than just, you know, adding weights or repetition? Because some people are like, you know what, if I'm at home and I'm doing bench press, if I don't have a spotter, I just can't do any more without it being dangerous, right? So what are some tips on increasing the intensity of your workout without just adding weights?
Yes, there's a lot of things you can think about. One of the most common ones is like the lever length. So that basically is how long or how far away the weight is from where it's pivoting from. So it's the fulcrum of the joint. So the more further the distance the weight is away from the fulcrum, the more torque you have around that joint, which is more resistance and tension. So for example, it'd be doing like, so if you're lifting the weights like a lateral raise exercise, taking dumbbells and lifting them to the side of your body, if your arms are straighter, it's going to have a lot more torque with that load than if your arms are really bent. So if you use like a 20-pound weight and your arms are bent at a 90-degree angle, it would be a lot more difficult if your arms were like a 180-degree angle. So that's like one example. So I also like doing push-ups from the knees going to the toes, so lengthening the lever, so making the tension over a greater distance.
Okay. I actually learned this week from Woods that when you do a push-up, it's basically 70% of your body weight is what you're pushing.
Yeah, if you're off your toes, it's around, 75% is what I heard. And then from the knees, it's just over 50% of your body weight generally. But again, everybody's got different proportions of where, you know, the size is on their body too.
If you start doing squats and different things with a lighter weight on the BOSU, or like wobble boards and BOSU balls, does that really increase the intensity? Is that good?
Yes and no. It depends. So if you were using, if you had to drastically reduce your loads to do the exercise, then maybe you're sacrificing load for an unstable surface. So one of the other things you can do is, change the surface sometimes that you're training on. So if you have something that's an unstable environment, then you develop more stability when you put yourself in an unstable situation. So, for example, if you're like a surfer, for example, and you need to be in an unstable environment, or you're a skateboarder, it's good to do some balancing and correcting your center of gravity or over your base of support. So it's good to do those kind of movements. On the other hand, if you like are a rock climber, for example, where you are on a stable surface, there it's better to do balancing exercises where you have a reduced base of support. So
okay,
off of one leg, that kind of a thing, because they're often on one leg and reaching with the other foot. So depending on what your activity is, sometimes it's better to do unstable work and sometimes it's good to do stable work, but on a smaller base of support.
And that really for hockey, right? There's been a lot of looking at one-legged squats and different things like that, because really when you look at it in hockey, in a lot of cases, you're on one leg.
Yeah, you're on one leg, and also it helps correct any kind of dysfunction in strength from one side of the body to the other. Because if you are squatting with both feet, if you're not paying attention, you could be biasing one side because it's weak and doing more work on the other side, never allowing the weaker side to correct itself. But when you're doing one-legged stuff, all that load's on that one leg, and you can tell a distinct difference if one side is weaker than the other.
Paul Plakas joins us from Custom Fit. What about more nervous stimulation? Does that help?
Yeah, that really helps quite a bit, because if you want to become efficient at something, you need to develop, you want to get those neurons firing efficiently all the way from the brain down to those muscles as quickly as possible. So the more complex the movement pattern is, the more neurological development you're going to get. So for example, if you're just sitting on a chair, like on a leg extension machine, like in a gym, you sit in this chair and all you do is extend your leg up and down, that is no work on your nervous system whatsoever. It's a very dumb exercise. All you do is sit and lift your legs up and down. It has no functional carryover. But all of a sudden, if you are, say, for example, balancing on one leg, and then all of a sudden you have to squat down, bend and rotate, touch something, and then stand up again. It takes a lot of nervous stimulation and improvement of efficiency from the brain to the muscles that's going to help you with real-life activity, and it's going to make you more efficient at it. So you'll be able to go down and touch and squat and bend without as much wobble. So the person that's sitting on the chair just extending their legs up to work their legs is never going to get any of that, you know, carryover for sports and real-life activity.
What about the speed of your reps? Because, you know, a lot of time, most sports anyway, you're all about, okay, quicker, faster, stronger.
Yes.
What's the bet? And I guess maybe if you're doing, and bench press is an easy one because everybody out there listening knows what a bench press is and what it looks like. Going faster, I'm guessing, will force quick twitch muscles. But what about going slower? What's the benefits there?
So on a speed of movement, so whatever your normal tempo is, you can be harder if you either go slower or faster. So, for example, if you go slower, you develop this concept of time under tension. Your muscles are under tension longer. And that's good if you want to become good at resisting fatigue. So if you want to have more endurance and being able to contract your muscles under tension for longer periods of time, if you're involved in a sport like that, then go a little bit slower and keep that tension continuous on those muscles. If you're into like football, for example, and you need to explode off the line in a really quickly for six to ten second play, then yeah, maybe you're doing bench presses like if you're like a lineman, really quickly with good load, and you're like working those fast twitch muscle fibers where you're popping people off their center of gravity and trying to get around them to get to the quarterback or protecting your quarterback.
You know, decentric stuff. Right. Everybody talks about it. And now does it naturally make you stronger if you have to take the bar and lower it down towards you in a slow fashion? Does it actually make you stronger, Paul?
Yeah. The research I've read actually says that's probably the most important part of the entire exercise.
Really?
is resisting load, because your body can resist more load, about 20, depending on the exercise, 25 to 40% more load than it can pushing up. So working that extra weight slower on the way down will keep that tension on the muscles and develop a lot of strength. So really focusing on lowering it under control for strength is a great idea. A lot of people, for example, if you're bench pressing, say, 200 pounds, but you could probably lower 240 pounds. So a lot of guys, what they'll do is they'll get help up, and then they'll be focusing on resisting that extra heavier load that they could not normally push up. And then get their body used to handling more tension, more load, because they can always resist more weight they can push up.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a good way of training to develop strength. So, yeah, I would highly recommend that.
And one last one. You talked earlier about, you know, more torque around the joints and stuff. What about range of motion movements with sticking points?
Yeah, absolutely. Like if you want to develop the ability to move through a great range of motion, you want to make sure that the muscles don't have any weak points. So a lot of people, for example, if we stick with a bench press, if you don't do a full range of motion and you only work so maybe the top third or the bottom third of the movement, you'll only be strong in the range that you work with. So if you work through a full range of motion, then you're developing the strength curve of your muscles through that entire movement pattern. And a lot of people that just work on a small range of motion are only strong in that range of motion. So if they're ever forced to work beyond that, they could injure themselves or they're a lot weaker. So it's probably a good idea in most cases to work through full range.
Paul, as always, excellent insight. Appreciate your time.
Have a great day, sir.